It is so good to see everybody here this morning. It's good to see Nathan here. It's good to see Brother Kennedy here. It's good to see all of you that are visiting with us. And those of you that are visiting, we hope that you feel especially welcome. As a matter of fact, it is our hope and desire that you will feel so welcome, that you will want to come back and worship God together with us again whenever you are here in the Lindell area. I was talking with Brother Valdez this morning, and he told me that he and Holly are going to be moving to West Texas, the city West, not the location out West Texas, but the city West Texas here in the near future, and we're going to miss you both very much. And remember, this is where your roots are, so this is where you call home always. I appreciate Brother Hyde's prayer this morning. Several times in his prayer, he was mentioning the reality of what we are dealing with in our life here on this earth. And that is, we were born into a world where there's war going on. And the war has been going on ever since the Garden of Eden. And what we're going to be doing in our sermon this morning, and next week, and possibly the week after that, we're going to be studying this spiritual war that is taking place in our world. And make no mistake about it, the war is going to take place, and you are involved in it. And the battleground is your heart, your mind. And the spoils of this war is going to be your soul's eternal destiny. Our sermon this morning is going to be a study of our enemy, a study of Satan, and how it is Satan that is engaging this war against us, and how it is Satan who intends on destroying us and taking us down to be with hell, with him forever, separated from God for all eternity. It is Satan's desire to destroy the pinnacle of God's creation, which is you. It is Satan's desire to destroy your soul and have you forever separated from God. We're going to start the sermon this morning by going over to the New Testament book of Revelation, chapter 12. The reason I'm going here is because I'm wanting to see that there is warfare taking place in the spiritual realm. The scripture reads, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." I want you to notice from the text here in verse 9, the various titles given to Satan. He is called the great dragon. He is called the serpent of old, referring back to the Garden of Eden. He is called the devil. He is called Satan. He is described as the one who deceives the whole earth. There was war in heaven, and Satan and his angels fought, and they were cast out of heaven. But when you go to the close of this chapter, in chapter 12 of Revelation, and in verse 17, it states something here which should send shivers down your spine. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." What the text is talking about here is the dragon, the serpent, Satan, the devil. He has come to make war against those that the text describes here who keep the commandment of God. That's you and I, who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's you and I. Satan came to make war against the church. Whether you like it or not, that is the reality of the world into which you and I were born. We were born into a world where spiritual warfare has been engaged since the Garden of Eden. And Satan is after you. We are fighting against spiritual wickedness, as Ephesians describes it. In Ephesians 6, 11 through 12, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Now look at this. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. In this war, we are struggling against the devil. We are struggling against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness. It is a spiritual war in which we as physical human beings with a spirit, we are involved in this war. And again, remember, the battleground is your heart. The battleground is your mind, and the spoils of this war in which we are engaged in is your soul's eternal destiny. Now you may say, I want to fight. I want to be peaceful. I want to get along with everybody. You surrender, you lose. You're going to find that all humanity is going to fall into two camps. There's going to be those who are going to be the soldiers of Jesus Christ in the army of God. And there's going to be those that are going to be in the camp of Satan. There is no Switzerland in this war. There is no neutrality. There is no place you can go for peace between you and Satan. His desire is to conquer you and destroy you. You either fight or surrender and die. When we talk about die, we're not talking about physical death. We're talking about spiritual death. We're talking about you being forever separated from God. This war is taking place now, and it will continue to take place until the Lord comes again. Peter, writing about this, is in 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The text here again is telling us about our adversary, our enemy, the one who's attacking us, the one who's desiring to destroy us, the devil. He is going about as a roaring lion. Now listen, folks, this isn't a myth. This is not something that Christians make up the boogeyman to scare you. This is real. This is the real world in which we are in. Satan exists, and his desire is to destroy you. He is your adversary. He is trying to destroy and devour you. That's why the text says you got to be sober. You got to be vigilant. You got to resist him. If you don't resist, he will have his way with you. If you do not fight, you will be destroyed. 2 Corinthians 2:11 tells us, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Our sermon this morning is going to actually be a study of the devices of Satan. We point out that he is making war against mankind, and especially war against the church, because mankind that is not in the church is already lost and already in his camp. He's got them. The ones that he really wants to destroy are those that are in the camp of Christ. He wants all of mankind to be lost. Spiritual wickedness is wanting to devour you. But the text tells us we're not ignorant of his devices. And the point that this text is talking about is Satan has not come up with anything new to attack us with. It is not as though he's going to hit you and I with something in our lifetime that previous generations have not had to deal with already. In the Word of God, God reveals to us how our enemy is going to attack us. And so what we're going to be doing in this first sermon in the series of lessons on spiritual warfare, we're going to be studying our enemy and studying the devices of Satan, and studying the means and the methods and the avenues through which Satan is going to attack you and I. We're going to start this lesson now by going over to Matthew. The Lord says in Matthew 10:36-37, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You're going to find that Satan understands the bonds and the ties and the strength of the bonds within the family unit. How strong a tie it is between a father and his children. How strong a tie it is between a mother and her children. How strong a tie there is between boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife. He will use the people who are the dearest and nearest to you in life as a means to attack you. Unfortunately, you will find that sometimes, not always, but sometimes, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Countless times I have come across individuals who have told me that whenever they obeyed the gospel, they were ostracized by their family. That their family told them, you will be cut off if you obey the gospel. I have heard that numerous times. You need to understand that if you love your mother and your father more than Christ, you're not worthy of Christ. If you love your husband and your wife more than Christ, and you're willing to give in to them and do what they want you to do rather than Christ, you're not worthy of Christ. If you love your boyfriend or your girlfriend more than Christ, and you're wanting to please your boyfriend or your girlfriend more in Christ and have them pleased with your actions, you're not worthy of Christ. The Lord understands the power of these bonds, and so does Satan. But you must not allow the power of these bonds in the lives of the people that you love to cause you to not obey Christ. Christians serve Christ the King by faith first, foremost, and always. And you don't let anyone, regardless of how special and meaningful they are to you, come between you and your Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Again, notice the beginning of the verse. Do not be deceived. I would draw from that that there are people out in the world that would say, I can have friends that are immoral and it's not going to affect me. Now, that may happen to other people, but I'm stronger. Oh, really? No, you're not. Birds of a feather flock together. People who are involved in immorality and have no intentions of turning from it or repenting of it, they like to be around other people who will participate in the same immorality. You all understand this. The folk that want to go out and get drunk on the weekends want to be around others that will get drunk. If you won't drink with them, they don't want to be around you. The people that are homosexuals want to be around the others that are homosexuals, or people that say homosexual is just an alternate lifestyle, or they don't want to be around you. The people that want to use drugs want to be around the others that use drugs. If you won't use the drugs, then they don't want to be around you. Choose your friends wisely. Satan, again, understands the bond and the strength of friends and the desire to be pleasing to your friends and your companions and your buddies. And he will use the people that are your friends as a means and an avenue to tempt you and to draw you into the world. Sooner or later, those who are going to be Christians, every single one of us had to do this. There was someone that was our friend and we had to say, I can't be around you anymore. I can't go with you anymore. I can't do the things you're doing. I'm going this way and I'm not going with you anymore. Every one of us have had to do that. You know it. We've had to break free of our friends that are in the world because we understand we can't maintain this bond with them without being pulled into their world. Satan will attack you for your family, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and just your companions and your buddies in the world. One of the main texts that describes the avenues of temptation is 1 John 2:16. The text reads, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. This text basically summarizes the three primary means and avenues through which Satan is going to attack us. And again, the reason this is important to know is, if you know what your enemy is going to do before he does it, then you can better defend yourself against him. We're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's going to do before he does it. Now it's just a matter of us defending ourselves against him. He is going to attack us through the lust of the flesh. This is not a probability or possibility. This is a definite. He is going to attack each and every one of us through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He has attacked us. He will continue to attack us through these avenues. It's up to us to recognize it and deal with it and start defending ourselves. Look at the lust of the flesh. In Matthew 4, we have a prime example of the attacks of Satan. In the text, we're dealing with Satan's temptation of our captain, Jesus the Christ. And I want you to notice at the very beginning here in verses 2 through 3, how he does this. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Let's stop right here and look at this text. This is a classic text to study. Do you think Satan knew Jesus was hungry? Now listen, folks, when it says that Jesus was hungry, his tummy wasn't growling a little. He was hungry! Give me some food! He had eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Hunger was the primary drive. And so Satan hits him where he believes he will be weakest first. Now listen real close to what I'm about to tell you. Satan knows your weak areas. He knows the temptations you have given to the past. He knows where your spiritual weaknesses are. And he's going to hit you there first and most often. That's why you got to recognize where your weaknesses are. You got to examine yourself and look at yourself and be honest where your spiritual weaknesses are, because he's going to hit you there again and again and again. That's the way all warfare works, folks. You find out where a weakness is, and you hit it, and you hit it hard, and you hit it often. Satan's going to do that with you and I. He knew where Christ's weaknesses might possibly be because he was hungry, and he hit him there first. When we're talking about the lust of the flesh, we're talking about the natural drives and desires of the body. Eating is a natural desire. Gluttony is sin. Drinking is a natural physical need. Drinking alcohol to fulfill that thirst is sin. The sexual drive is natural. It is not vulgar. It is the way God created us to procreate. What Satan wants to do is to take a natural God-created drive and have you fulfill that drive in a way in which God never intended it to be fulfilled. Lust of the flesh. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." What do you get from the word abstain? See how close you can get to it. See how far you can go into it and still perceive in your mind that you're a faithful Christian. No! Abstain means abstain. Had nothing to do with it. Stay away from it completely, because it will war against your soul. And again, that's where the battleground is, your soul. And when you give in to the lust of the flesh, you are going into sin. And that sin will lead you to death. That's what Satan wants. He wants your spiritual death for all eternity. I need to understand, we're being attacked this way continually. Through our televisions, through our magazines, through the movies, through the way girls dress at Walmart, through the way men dress at Walmart, through the way people live and try to entice you into this world. This is where the battleground is. Fight! Do not surrender. Do not just flippantly act like it's not happening. This is the real world that we are fighting in. Abstain from it. Hold your ground. Resist. And he'll flee from you. You can say no. The lust of the eyes, going back to Matthew 4:8-9. "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Now let's take this text again and break it down. All the glory of all the kingdoms of the world, what did he do? He showed them to him. Let him look at them. Let him put them in front of his eyes. And he said, all these, what? Things I will give you. And here's the key word. If you fall down and worship me. We call it materialism. The lust of the eyes. Satan will take things in this world in which we live and put these things in front of you and say, I will give you these things if you just compromise your morals, compromise your relationship with God. Go ahead, sin a little. Look what I'll give you. Look at all this stuff you can have. Don't you understand? It'll make your life better and happier. Paul in writing to Timothy says in 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Those who desire to be rich. Now notice, I want you to notice, it's not those that are rich. There's a difference between desiring to be rich and being rich. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It is the love of it. The greediness to where money becomes your God. What do you got to do to get more of it? What do I got to say to do to get more of it? I want more stuff. To where you build your life around the acquisition of stuff, regardless of what you have to do to get it. More cars, bigger homes, more stuff. Even though I have to let go of my relationship with God, let go of worshiping God, let go of my family, let go of everything else. I got to have this stuff. All these things I'll give you. If. That's the lust of the eyes. Satan's going to dangle some trinket in front of you to try to get you to sell your soul. So how much are you worth? How much are you willing to sell out for? Minimum wage? How much are you going to sell out for? How much stuff? Because that's what he's going to attack you through. And then the pride of life. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride. It's all about me. What I want, it matters. Even though here's the command of God, and I understand the command of God, I want to go this way. I like this. I enjoy this. This is fun to me. It's pleasurable to me. I want to go this way. I don't care what God says. You need to realize that the core of all sin is the pride of life. And that is, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what my Creator says. I don't care what my King says. I don't care what Christ who died for me says. I'm going to do what I want to do. You have that attitude, it's going to lead to your destruction. It's going to lead to your fall. And you will spend eternity in hell. Satan attacks us all through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Examine yourself and come to understand where you find your primary spiritual flaws and weaknesses. And then start working on them, defending yourself. It is one thing to recognize a flaw and a weakness in your character, but then it must be dealt with. It's not enough just to go, oh, that was a good sermon. Well, I stomped all over my feet. Now I'm going to go back and live the way I was. Whenever the Word of God hits you and it shows you where you are, you're expected to repent, to deal with it, to strengthen where you find the weaknesses. And now the last part of the lesson. Satan is the father of liars. How did he attack Eve in the very beginning? He lied to her. And you need to realize this is one of his primary modes of attack today. In 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. Christianity is not some deep mystical religion. What you need to know in order to become saved and stay saved is referred to in the scriptures as the milk of the word. That is the idea that a baby can easily take it and digest it. Jesus being the Christ, the virgin birth took place and he is the Son of God. He died for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead, conquering death. He has ascended into heaven. He's at the right hand of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords now. He has given us a means now through which we can have our sins forgiven by obeying the gospel, confessing our faith, repenting of our sins, and serving him now by faith as our Lord and our King, submitting to the command of the King, being immersed in water for the remission of our sins, and then taking up our cross daily and following the teachings of the King. And make no mistake about it, folks, the morals and the teachings of Christ, again, are not deep mystical things. Learn to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Learn to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Assemble together with the saints. Sing praises to God from your heart, teaching and admonishing one another as you sing. Partake of the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day at the Lord's table, focusing your mind on the death of the Son of God. Give back to God a portion of that that he's blessed you with. Pray to God from your heart. Is that hard to understand? No. But you need to realize, the last thing Satan wants is for people to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You pick any aspect of Christianity, I challenge you, pick any aspect of it, from the existence of God, to Jesus being the Christ, to his being the Son of God, to the resurrection, to just the first principles of the oracles of God of how to become a Christian. I'll show you lies that come from the father of liars. I'll show you lies that have been propagated in our world by Satan to keep people from God in his camp, spiritually dead. That's why in the same chapter, verse 14 and 15, it says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. They will come and they will act like, oh, I love Jesus, praise the Lord, and then they'll lie to you. And they'll tell you, they're going to show you the way to be reconciled to God, and then they'll lie to you. You want me to tell you what the greatest danger is to the lies of Satan? It's the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth. It can set you free. You're going to find out in a lesson in a few weeks that it is the truth that is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. You need to learn what the truth is. God has not left us in darkness. He has given us light to show us where we came from, to show us where we're going, to show us the resurrection, to show us heaven. We can take this light and shine it all the way back to the crucifixion at Calvary. We can look up into heaven. We can look down into Hades. We can see where we are. We can see where we're going. We can see where we came from. This is the light. This is the truth. Truth exists. Here it is. You better search it out. Because our enemy is going to lie to you again and again and again, because he wants to confuse you. He wants to get you to think you're serving the Lord when you're still in his camp. If he can get you thinking you're going to heaven while he's still got you in his camp, that's what he wants. And he's going to do it through lies. You have the ability to read the truth. You have the ability to understand the truth. You better search it out. Because this is the only way you're going to be able to cut through all the lies that Satan has sown into our world. That's the end of the sermon tonight. Yeah, if I can get this thing to close. There we go. Next week we're going to continue this series. And we're going to be studying next week about our captain. And major battles our captain, Jesus the Christ, have already won. And we're going to be studying about the soldiers of Christ, our allies, in the army of God. And then we're going to conclude this series by studying the weapons of God. As Brother Hyde prayed about this morning, that we put on the whole armor of God. We're going to have an in-depth study into these weapons, because if you don't know your weapons and how to use them, you're in trouble. So we're going to be studying our allies next week, and after that we're going to be studying our weapons, because, brethren, the whole point of this series of lessons is to make you and I good soldiers of Jesus Christ, so that we can resist our enemy, so that we can stand in the evil day, so that we can fight the good fight of faith and make it to heaven. Because if we do not resist, and if we do not fight, we will lose. And if we lose the war, we will lose our soul. You may have lost battles in the past. You must not lose the war. Resist him and he will flee from you. Get engaged in the battle. Get into the war and become a soldier of Christ. If there's somebody here this morning who's not in the camp of Christ yet, you need to realize there is no Switzerland in Christianity. There is no neutral ground. You are either in the camp of Satan or the camp of Christ. If you die in the camp of Satan, you go where he goes. Come on over. Come on to our side. Have the Lord as your captain and your king. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to openly confess your faith, we'll be glad to assist you. As you repent of your sins, we'll baptize you into the body of Christ. You will be joining yourself to the church of our Lord, the body of Christ, the kingdom of our God. You will become a Christian soldier. If you are a child of God already and you have lost battles to where you have gone into sin and you have not dealt with that sin, come home, come back to the Father, get up and get back into the fight. Do not stay in your sin. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the psalms and the selection.